is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Our email address is nationradio@theteam1260.com, and we are definitely tweeting today on Nation Radio. Follow us at It's Nation Radio. Also put Nation Radio as a hashtag if you can find the time. Okay. All right. You know what? This has been a crazy busy week. I wanted to get to this because if you're an Edmonton Oiler fan, this has sort of been out there and hanging over your head for a while. Darryl Cates is going to get his arena. This still has a chance to get messy. There's a matter of $100 million that's coming from somewhere, and there are a lot of Northlands employees staring into the abyss, and that's going to be, or could be, nasty. But the framework is there, and the lawyers give way to the PR department over the next little while, and 450 large, if you're like me, you haven't even thought about what this arena is going to look like because you were still, you know, fretting over how it was going to come to be. But 450 mil should give Edmonton a state-of-the-art building, and the new boys on the bus are going to look good in that building over the next decade or more. If you're an Oilers fan, this is terrific news. You know, how they build it and how much money comes from where is still up in the air, but the framework is there, and that's very encouraging. Also this week, Derek Bougard's tragic death was ruled accidental, mixing alcohol with painkillers. A terrible shame. You can go online and read more about it. I'm not going to talk about it too much here, but a real shame and very unfortunate. The Canucks last night, we talked to Dustin about this, kept taking penalties and allowed San Jose back into that series. It was an interesting game in that Vancouver turned it on late and very late and almost tied it. And had they gone to overtime, I suspect they would have won. Game three, losing game three for the Canucks, I don't think it's that big a deal. They obviously have to come out and play much better and more disciplined in game four. But I think that series, it's not over, but it could very well be by this time, by about 8 o'clock tomorrow night, you know, if we're still here. The Bruins have a chance to take a stranglehold on the series against Tampa Bay, and they're doing it. There's about 15 and a half minutes left in the second period. It's 3-0 now. The Bruins played an outstanding game on Thursday night, and they're obviously playing very well tonight, and there's some pushback physically from T-Bay, but no goals so far. St. John looked good, and Jonathan Huberdeau impressed again as the Memorial Cup opened up last night with the Sea Dogs winning over St. Mike's 4-3. I don't know if there's a favorite in this year's Memorial Cup, but I suspect that the St. John's will, or St. John will be after that game. They played very well, and obviously the WHL will play tonight as part of the ongoing Memorial Cup. I've had the Weak Earth Ands' I Hate Winnipeg. You know that song? I've had it rolling around in my head all week because obviously the Jets are coming. There's only a matter of time now. The Thrashers are going to be moving to Winnipeg. Many years ago, I used to go to Jets games. And honestly, I can tell you the passion of that fan base is similar to the really good cities like Boston, Edmonton, and you know, other cities that I won't name now just to make them angry. Atlanta's Thrashers are hanging by a thread, and Winnipeg's Jets are so close they can taste it. I know at least two dozen Jets fans who are right now probably in the fetal position just clicking refresh on the TSN site waiting for that to happen, and I'm sure it will. So Godspeed, Jets fans, and welcome back to the National Hockey League. Your team is too good, and we won't be friends for long, but for today we can at least, you know, welcome you back to the league. And you know, we're talking a lot about the draft today, and I wrote about this on Oilers Nation this morning. You could stare at a draft long enough, and it begins to take shape. This year, it took forever for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to gain separation, but as of this week, I think it's complete. Bob McKenzie moved him to number one a while back. ISS has had him number one for a while, and this week, Kyle Woodleaf from Redline Report marked the Nuge at number one. With that position sealed, I think number two on the board is probably Gabriel Landeskog, with Adam Larson in the number three spot, and we're going to talk about that in about an hour from now, because it would be very cool if the Edmonton Oilers could find a way to get not only the first overall pick, but another pick in that top eight, because defensively, there's Adam Larson, there's also Dougie Hamilton and Ryan Murphy, and in reading Jim Matheson this week in the Edmonton Journal, he was talking a little bit about some of the players that the Oilers would like, and Duncan Siemens is on that list too. So I'm talking to two guests today about the possibility of the Oilers taking a defenseman with a second pick in the first round. Both said not necessarily, but I really think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to take a defenseman with that second pick, whether it be 19 or 9, or they move up even more, and we'll talk about that in the second hour. A few emails to pass along here today. This is from Nick Pado, who you may remember as Nick the American. He used to have a show here on Team 1260 years and years ago when he was much younger and better looking. And he writes, "Hockey, really? Good day, Al. When will you just admit to these kind and unsuspecting Edmontonians that you are really just a baseball fan in hockey fans' clothing? All hail the great American pastime. Your old pal, Nick the American. P.S. I have a Tim Wallach card at my house. Okay, Nick. You know what? I love baseball. If I could do a baseball show right after this, I would totally do that. But in a hockey... In a hockey mad city, we go with hockey and the Edmonton Oilers. Also, we have this from Michael and Susanna Clark. The Jets are so close to reality again that the fans in Winnipeg already think that the rapture has occurred. May the Jets fly once again with the first pick. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins will certainly become a focal point for many of the upcoming this coming WHL season. The question I have is this: would the Oil Kings trade for Hopkins? You know, I bet they would, but why would Red Deer move him? They have a really good team. Obviously a playoff team, and they rolled over Edmonton this past year and then got caught in with Medicine Hat, unable to move past that. So, I get your point, but I really have to say that there, from my point of view, I cannot imagine that the Red Deer Rebels would move him. I can't see that happening. This is from Ross, who says, love the show. I suspect one of the areas the Oilers and many other teams are looking to address is the addition of a physical forward who can play. Milan Lucic is the prototype of this sort of player. Steve Ott might be another example. These players don't grow on trees, though. I don't think a player like that exists in the Oilers system, although potentially Cervenka. One player I wonder about is Kyle Beach from Chicago, although he seems to come with a bad attitude. Is this player of interest? And if so, what might it require to pry him from the Hawks? Also, is Kyle Kessie from Medicine Hat on the Oilers draft radar? Maybe one of the third-round picks. He might become that kind of player one day. Do you or your guests see other possibilities in this regard? Well, you know what? We may bring that subject up in the hour number two with Kirk Ludeke. I can tell you from my point of view, the thing that I always wonder with the power forwards is Milan Lucic. Lucic was a huge surprise in year two. He just was. There was a situation where his numbers weren't, you know, they weren't that large. He was a guy who was a bit of a depth pick. Boston may have reached a little bit, and he then emerged after draft day. So I think you make a good point. I think he's a guy who may end up being able to play a power forward position, maybe on a skill line with the Edmonton Oilers if he continues to develop. But that's the kind of timeline. You know, I guess that by definition, what I'm saying is, the Lucic's of the world are not necessarily identifiable on draft day. It's what they do after their draft that they emerge as those big power forwards as they get bigger and stronger. We talked to Brian Sutherby about that last year when he got into the Western Hockey League. He was a skinny kid with some height, and he grew and grew, and then he became that type of player even after his draft day. So something to look forward to as well. And another question here from Tom with regard to Desjardins NHL equivalency. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this because if you don't know about it, Gabriel Desjardins is a fertile mind. He's a guy who comes up with all kinds of cool ideas. If you go to the Low Tide blog and you click on Desjardins' new site, Behind the Net, click on that, go to his site, and then right on the front page there, he's got links. At the bottom of the links portion, it says Projecting the NHL Performance of Junior and Minor League Players. Okay? So basically, the general idea of NHL equivalencies is to let the air out of the tires from junior, college, and Euro leagues and place it at the equivalent level of the National Hockey League. Bill James did something years ago for Major League Baseball. Same basic thing. He looked at ballpark effects. He looked at how many at bats and that sort of thing, and came up with a line in the sand for these guys, and it worked out really well. NHL maybe not as successful, but Gabe's done a great job coming up with, I think, a very interesting tool. The WHL kids retain 30% of their offense. The Q kids about 28%, and the OHL also 30%. And it goes for every league, Swedish Elite League, SM Liga, Europe, NCAA, even the USHL. And it's all put in an 82-game notation to make all things equal. Gabe does an excellent job explaining it in depth at his blog. You might want to check it out. But I wanted to talk to you about how well it works. Last year, Taylor Hall finished within a couple of points of his NHL equivalency. He was expected to go 17 goals and 46 points. He ended up with 44 points. Tyler Seguin was off of that. He didn't play as much, so obviously the number wasn't there. And Michael Granlund, who has not played in the NHL. He was projected to also have 41 points, along with Sagan. Vladimir Tarasenko and Jeff Skinner rounded out the top five with 39 and 35 points. Skinner was projected to score 19 goals. So according to Gabe, he was a player of interest even a year ago, and that's something I think a lot of us weren't aware of as we entered draft day, but looking back on it, the number did jive. Now for this year, the big star on the Desjardins NHL equivalency is a kid named Ryan Strome from the OHL. He projects as a 40-point player. Nobody's at Taylor Hall's 46-point projection, but at 40 points, he leads the current crop of draft eligibles. Couturier and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins are at 38 points, and just so you know, over 82 games, 2 points is nothing. They're all basically in the same general area, I would say, along with Jonathan Huberdeau, who is at 36 points, and Landeskog at 31 points, but he's a kid who is among the leading projected scorers with 17 goals. So basically, should a team draft Gabriel Landeskog and slot him into their lineup and play him as a regular, I think it's reasonable, based on the NHL equivalencies, to expect him to score between 15 and 20 goals. If he plays a lot like Skinner did, I think he's a guy who might score 25. If you're looking for a Skinner in this NHL draft, Landeskog would be a likely candidate, and Strome as well. Somebody a little bit under the radar, maybe not projected to go in the top three or four, especially Strome, who might surprise. So that's the player that you might want to be looking at. And check out Gabe's site. If you're interested in that sort of thing as you head towards the draft, really, really interesting guy, and obviously another way of looking at NHL prospects. Don't forget, we are tweeting today on Nation Radio. You can follow us at It's Nation Radio. Also put Nation Radio as a hashtag if you find the time. And we enjoy tweeting out to you. Another way we can reach you, our email, of course, is nationradio@theteam1260. And coming up in the next half hour or so, I'm going to talk to Kirk Ludicky, more draft, and Matt Fenwick about the Canucks, about the Oilers, about the Flames, and all kinds of jocularity with Fenwick. It's all coming up next hour on Team 1260.